This is Monsignor Gray, and today is March 25th, as we celebrate the feast day of the Annunciation. So we continue just offering some thoughts and reflections. Today's a very special feast day. We set aside the purple in order to observe the special solemnity at our Masses today. So in this way, we're in particular united with the Blessed Mother and ask for her prayers for us this day. To explain the importance of the Annunciation, I think it's good for us to connect that to the Nativity. This is the feast day that occurs 9 months before the Nativity, before Jesus' birth at Christmas, because today is the day that the Archangel announces to the Blessed Mother the plan of God that she would bear a son and who would be named Jesus. And so this would be the moment of Jesus' conception, the time when he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. So 9 months before Christmas, we have this great feast day, a reminder of the incarnation of God, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, especially in the womb of the Blessed Mother. So she was the first person to hear the message of salvation. So this is a special privilege that is given really only to Mary. Before that message of salvation would be shared with other people in the course of time as it unfolds. But she was the first, and the first to hear and to agree and to say yes to that plan. Today is because the Annunciation is the first of the joyful mysteries, it'd be a fitting day to offer the joyful mysteries of the Rosary, saying the Rosary. Of course, we can say whatever set of mysteries, that's fine, but today's feast day falls in the list of the joyful mysteries, and so very appropriate today to do that. To think about the importance of the Incarnation, just like to make a comparison or an analogy to the idea of an engagement or a proposal. When you have a man proposing marriage to a woman, oftentimes the man will think about and plan the moment in which he proposes. Sometimes they see times when great care is taken to select the right place or the right time to make that suggestion, to suggest marriage, to make that proposal, asking for a hand in marriage. And oftentimes, then the woman may not know that the question is about to be asked, but then just as the man then makes the proposal, which is his expression of love, that he loves her, so then the woman responds, and she also can respond with an expression of love if she agrees to accept that proposal, and then the couple is engaged. And it begins a new phase in their relationship, an important stage on their way toward marriage, in that they've made that commitment to one another. And I'd like to compare that to the Annunciation. It's very different in the sense that a man and woman entering into a proposal for marriage, we're talking about two people who are equals to one another. And so the husband and wife as equals then pledge their love to one another. And in the Annunciation, we talk about the proposal that God makes to Mary. And here we're very much talking about unequals. So God, who is the Lord, and then Mary, who is just a creature. So we're not talking about people who are on the same level with one another. But I think that you do see some similarities, because we do see a proposal of love on the part of God. So God is proposing the birth of Jesus. And so it really is a sign of him having favored the Blessed Mother, looking upon her with love and choosing her for this very special role. So it's a sign that God loves Mary very much to choose her for this special privilege. And then the question of, will Mary respond? Will she accept that message of love and profess her love as well? And she does that when she agrees. So she says, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word." Kind of like an engagement, it's God is the one who had planned this out. He had planned it out from not just for a short amount of time, but even throughout the Old Testament, waiting for the day of salvation. And the moment is now come upon us. This was the time for Jesus to enter into the world. And so having long planned this moment in which this plan of God would be finally revealed by the message of the archangel, so it takes place when Gabriel appears to Mary. So while God had planned this in advance and very much took Mary by surprise, so then Mary, then hearing the proposal, then responds with that kind of instinctive response of love. And that's a great message that we see from her, that as God loves us, that we should be instinctive in our response to want to, in fact, love him in return. We see this plan laid out as God expresses how this will all take place, and Mary accepts the expression of love from God and the explanation that is given by the archangel, and agrees. And so in this, we can say that there is a new relationship established, just as after couples become engaged, their relationship enters a new phase. So now also Mary is particularly bound in a special way to God, to the Father, to the Holy Spirit who overshadows her, to the Son, to Jesus Christ conceived within her womb. And that is a life-changing relationship for her, something that will mark her forever. It's both a great privilege, but of course also she'll have great share in the life of Christ, in all of the blessings and even in the sufferings and the crosses that he has to carry as well. But so that often is with marriage too, is that we share in all the blessings and even all of the sufferings that we encounter as well. In this Lenten season, I think this is a particular time for us to stand with the Blessed Mother. And we ask the Lord to help us to respond with great love to the will of God. God shows his love for us in so many different ways, so consistently throughout our lives. And he's always waiting for us in our turn then to respond in love as well. We have free will, just as Mary did. And so we can either say yes to God or no. Sometimes we don't say yes as we should. But we ask the Lord to help us to be more like Mary, more ready to respond to the Lord with love. And while Mary has a very singular privilege, so she enters into such a special relationship that she carries about God within her. She carries our Lord about within her womb. But we also have that opportunity to carry the Lord about within us when we receive communion. It's kind of a difficult time right now, especially when people are not able to receive communion because of the precautions we're taking now. But nonetheless, we can remember what a privilege it is to receive communion. And so like Mary, we want to love the Lord who loves us and respond with great tenderness and with great affection for him. So we ask the Lord to watch over all of us, to keep us in peace throughout these days. We pray for a swift end to the obstacles that we have, that we might be able to return to the public celebration of the sacraments. And we ask for God's blessings on each and every one of us. God bless.